Good evening, you guys. My name is Joshua. I am one of the pastors here at Countryside, and excited to get to talk with you guys tonight. Somebody hit me real quick with what series we're working through right now. Nine marks of a biblical church, nine marks of a healthy church, all right? And somebody hit me with, what are some of the nine marks you've already talked about? Church discipline you've already done? Perfect. I won't have to deal with that tonight. Cut that out of my notes. Bible study. Okay. What else? Theology. Biblical theology.
Evangelism.
Are there more? How many have you guys done so far? Have you guys done all these? Expository preaching. All right. I think that's most of them. If not, there's more. I know there's more. There's nine of them. Okay. We'll get to all those. I'm going to do tonight, we're going to talk about church membership. I told Wabi before I got up here, they only trust me to talk about one thing. So when it's time to do membership, I sign up because this is my baby. All right. No, I love church membership mostly because I love Jesus and I love his church. And so we want to think about it correctly. Now, question for you guys. Any of you students have a passport? Anybody? Well, several of you. Okay. Why do you have a passport? When did you get it? Because your parents made you. Great answer. All right. Somebody want to give me a better answer than that on why you have a passport?
I went to Germany to visit my brother in the Navy.
You went to Germany to visit your brother in the Navy. Okay. A passport, mostly for people in your age range. The reason that you are going after a passport is because you want to travel somewhere that is not America. Okay. Now, just so you know, next year, even though we have an agreement with a lot of countries that you can travel with just a passport and not a visa, that's about to stop. So you're going to have a visa and a passport to go to a lot of European countries. Just so you know, just to burst that bubble for you right up front. All right. Now, question. How many of you know what an embassy is? I see a lot of like, Hit me with what an embassy is. Yes, actually, that is a much better answer than even you know of because you weren't as confident, but I love it. Thank you. Okay, so he said it's basically a tiny piece of one country in another country. That is exactly right. Technically, an embassy means the place where an ambassador lives and works. That's what an embassy is. But what it actually means is, for instance, if you went over to France and you wanted to go to a U.S. embassy, there is only one in the whole country. It is in the capital city of Paris, okay? If you were in Paris and you wanted to go into the U.S. Embassy, when you step foot into the U.S. Embassy, you are no longer on French soil, you are on American soil, okay? Now, there is only one thing that will get you into an embassy. Do you know what that thing is? A U.S. Embassy, specifically. Any thoughts? What's that? Cool. That's great. What's the one thing that can get you into an embassy? Thoughts? We've already talked about it so far, which is kind of why I brought it up. A U.S. passport. Thank you very much. If you want to get into the U.S. embassy in France, you will need an American passport that's also legitimate, okay? You can't just, like, make up your own passport and be like, see? No. Too bad. You need an official U.S. passport to get into a U.S. embassy. They want to know that you're an American citizen and that you belong. Now, if we were to take that and use that as a metaphor, an illustration of church membership, what would that look like? Well, the church, hopefully, ideally, a biblical healthy church, are we a representation of something bigger? Yes, we are. What are we a representation of? Are we a representation of a country, of another nation? Of a kingdom, maybe? Yeah, but it's not an earthly kingdom, is it? The church, hopefully, is a representation of the kingdom of God. Well, what's the one thing you need to officially declare that you belong inside of a church? Well, it's not an American passport. That's what church membership is about. An official declaration, hey, you belong, you are one of us, you can come in and be a part of the business that's going on here because you belong. Okay, so membership, kind of like a passport, getting into a church, kind of like an embassy, all right? Now, here's the theme. You can write this down at the top of your paper. What are we talking about tonight? This is what I want you to get. If you don't understand anything else I say or hear anything else I say, this is what you need to know. every true believer should be formally connected to a biblical local church. Every true believer should be formally connected to a biblical local church. Now, what we're going to do tonight, I've got six outline points. They are the six questions that every good boy detective knows, and they are who, what, when, where, how, and why. We're going to work through all of them and talk about church membership. So number one, let's talk about what is church membership. What is church membership? And I haven't connected this to the screen yet, so you're not seeing any of it. Hold tight. Unable to connect. Sad. Come on, you can do it. All right, well, it's a good thing you guys have outlines and you know how to use pens, because I'm going to give you the answers and you're going to write them down. All right? Now, what is church membership? I have two definitions here. I'm going to give you a long one first. I'm going to read it. You got to listen really close. See what happens. Church membership is a formal relationship between a church and a Christian characterized by the church's affirmation and oversight of a Christian's discipleship and the Christian's submission to living out his or her discipleship in the care of the church. You're like, bro, I need more coffee. Give me a second, okay? Let's break it down a little bit. Number one, church membership means that you are actually a Christian. The church officially recognizing that you are a real, legitimate believer in Jesus Christ, you have repented of your sins and believe in him. The church is affirming your faith. If you join a church, a biblical, healthy church that does church membership correctly, they are affirming, we believe that you are a Christian. That's number one. Number two, the church as a whole is committing to saying, hey, we will oversee your Christian discipleship. That is, we will be in charge of, we will watch over and help you become more and more like Jesus. As you grow in your faith, you grow in obeying Jesus and being more like him. The way that you can do that will be in the context of the church, and the church is going to help you do that. All right? Number three, that means that the Christian commits to submit to the church. You come, when you join a church, one of the things you're saying is, hey, I want to be here under your leadership, and I want you to help me become more and more like Jesus. All right? And we're going to talk about all those pieces in a little bit. But here's your short definition. All right? This is what biblical church membership really is. It's this. A Christian officially submitting and belonging to a biblical local church. A Christian officially submitting and belonging to a biblical local church. Now, why do I keep saying biblical local church? Any thoughts why I'm being that precise? Somebody up front here. Yeah, so just so you guys know, I hope you know, there are a lot of quote-unquote churches out there that are not churches at all. Because just because you put your name and it says church on the outside of your building, that has nothing to do with whether you're a biblical church or not. What does mean you're a biblical church? It means you preach the biblical gospel. It means you have biblically qualified leadership. It means you're you know, celebrating baptism and the Lord's table and all these things, right? There's all these pieces that go into being a biblical, healthy church, and just putting church in your name is not one of them. So why do we care that we're in a biblical, local church? Well, because that's what the Bible says we should do. Now, first thing, what is church membership? We said a Christian officially submitting and belonging to a biblical local church. Number two, okay, I believe you that that is church membership. We only care what the Bible says, not what you say, sir. Where in the Bible is church membership? I will show you. Where in the Bible is church membership? Now, I want to give you one caveat before we start walking through these. Some things about the membership process here at Countryside are a little bit different than they were in the Bible. Okay, for one primary reason, their internet access was super slow back in the first century. Okay, why do we have online membership applications at our church? There is one very profound reason for that. Do you know what it is? No, it's because it makes my life easier. Literally, not anybody, just me. It does. It makes my life easier, so we do online membership applications. You're welcome. They didn't have online membership applications in the first century, the Church of Jerusalem or Ephesus or whatever. But the principles still apply. So where is church membership in the Bible? What if I told you that the churches in the New Testament actually had lists of all the people that were in their church. Would you believe me? You should. It's in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Pause. Acts 2:41. Write that down. By the way, it says my signal is too weak to connect to the Wi-Fi or the screen mirroring. Do you want to take that back and let them try it?
Yeah.
Thanks. Reclaiming my time? Reclaiming my time. All right, I should be back on. We'll see. Where is church membership in the Bible? Wow! Acts 2:41 is the answer. You all knew that because somebody just told you. Acts 2:41, it said there were added about 3,000 souls. One of you super sleuths, tell me, how do you know that there were 3,000 of them? Because it says it, thank you. This is one of those not trick questions. How do we know there were 3,000 of them? How did they know there were 3,000 of them? Somebody counted. Somebody smart, like Art. They stood up and they counted how many people are here, and guess what they got to? They got to about 3,000 souls. They had a list of all the people that were added to the church. They were able to count that list, and there were 3,000 of them. Now, what's funny is in Acts chapter 2, it says that there were 3,000 souls, men, women, and children, in this church. Two chapters later in Acts 4, it says that there were 5,000 just men. So they went from 3,000 total to 5,000 families, 5,000 men and their families. I want you to tell Pastor Brandon he has to run a men's night out for 5,000 men and watch him have a heart attack, and it would be great, all right? 5,000 men in one place, can you imagine? Now, we are talking about where is membership in the Bible. They had membership rosters. Acts 2 tells us they had at least 3,000. Now, what about ministry lists? Now, at our church, I have a list of all the people that are members in our church. Every single person in Countryside Bible Church that's a member, I have a list of. That's part of my job. Also, we have lists of subgroups, right? We have a list of all of the high school youth. We have a list of all the leaders. We have a list of all the 11th graders and 12th graders and all that stuff. Do you think they had that in the Bible? They did. In fact, they had ministry lists. In 1 Timothy 5:9, it said, a widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. There's qualifications for whether the church can take care of a certain lady if she is a widow. Okay? Wait a second. Put her on what list? Is that the church membership roster? All the believers in the church are on that list? No. This is just the widow's list, which, by the way, we also have at Countryside. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we see that you can be removed from membership. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells a story about a guy who's involved in just absolutely horrific sin, such that Paul tells the church, I'm not even there yet, and I'm telling you, you need to get rid of this guy. You have to remove him from your church, remove him from your midst. Well, let me ask you a question. If there is no way to be officially in the church, how can you say, get him out of the church? Remove him from your midst. Well, clearly, they considered him to be in the church, a member of the church. Last, we see membership transfers. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he tells them about a lady who is a faithful servant in the church at Cenchrea and says that if she comes to you, make sure that you take care of her and welcome her into your church. So even transferring from one biblical church to another, we see that transfer happening. All right. So, where is membership in the Bible? We see that. Did they have online membership applications? No. It looked a little bit different, but do we have the idea that people were officially connected to local churches? Yes, we do. So then, number three, we had what is membership? Where is membership in the Bible? Number three is who should be a church member? That should be the question. Well, the answer should be obvious. Our church defines four steps for being able to be a church member. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, only true believers in Jesus Christ. Only true believers in Jesus Christ can be a part of a local biblical church. Question is why? Well, the answer comes down to the word church, okay? In the Bible, we see the word church used in two different ways. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes and he says, Christ gave himself up for her, the church. Now, question for you guys. Does that mean that Jesus Christ gave himself up for the church, meaning specifically only Countryside Bible Church? Is that true? Jesus only died for Countryside Bible Church? No. Says he gave himself up for her, the church. That is, every true believer in Jesus Christ was sacrificed for by him. Therefore, when we talk about that kind of church, Jesus giving himself up for the church, we're not talking about a local church, we're talking about the universal church, every true believer. But then you also get to, you know, verses like Galatians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians. It talks about the churches of Galatia and the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus, Acts 20. Are those universal churches by different names? No, those are local churches. Now the question is, between the universal church, every true believer, and the local church, like Countryside Bible Church or North Lake Bible Church, something like that, what's the connection? Are those the same group of people or different groups of people? Or is there overlap? There is overlap. Tell me what you mean. Yes. And is everyone in the local church in the universal church? Not all. Almost got you. Nice. Yeah, there's overlap, right? Hopefully, in a biblical healthy church, pretty much everyone in the local church would already be a Christian. They would be part of the universal church. But we also know that because we're sinful, corrupt people, and some of you are deceived, and some of you are even self-deceived, and you think you're a Christian when you're not, that means that there are some people here who are not part of the universal church that are part of the local church. But it's the job of the elders and the leadership to make sure that that's as small a number as possible. That's why we have a membership process, so we can say, hey, are you a true believer before you join the church? Who should be a church member? Only believers in Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's who's actually in the church, in the universal church. Now, secondly, those who have been baptized as believers. Acts 2:41 says, well, let me get my notes here. Hang on. I'm on the wrong page. Acts 2:41, there's a process. There's an order to what happens, okay? It says, so then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. You see, there was three actions that happened in Acts 2:41. First, they received his word. That is, they became Christians. They were saved. They believed. Number two, they were baptized. And then number three, they were added to the church. Baptism, if you want to think about it this way, is the first step of church membership. The New Testament doesn't know anything about a true Christian who hasn't been baptized and connected to a local church. So you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized. Number three, you have to hold to the inerrancy, sufficiency, and authority of the Bible. Let's talk about that really quick. Somebody tell me what inerrancy means. Yeah, inerrancy, no errors, right? Nothing wrong with the Scripture, okay? Why do we have to believe that the Scripture has no errors in it? Because God wrote it, and God can't make errors. Number two, we believe in the sufficiency of the Bible. What do we mean by that? What's sufficiency? It's all we need. The Bible is enough. The Bible is all we need to honor God, to live a life that's pleasing to him, to come to faith in Christ. The Bible is enough. Authority. What does authority mean? You already answered. Give me a second. Say that again. We need to submit to it. Authority means what? That person is in charge, right? Your parents are authority over you, so on and so forth. The Bible is the authority. It means it's in charge. So, why does it matter that we hold that the Bible is without errors, it's all we need to honor God, and it's in charge of us? Well, first of all, because that's what the Bible says, so we should believe it. But ultimately, we have to agree on that as a church, because otherwise, who's in charge? We have no clue. See, when Pastor Tom stands up and he preaches on Sunday morning, just so you know, I don't care what Tom says. I don't care what Tom thinks. And you can quote me on that. You know why? Tom doesn't care what Tom thinks. Both Tom and I and you should care what the Bible thinks. See? We care what the Bible says. The Bible is the authority in the Christian life. And if we don't all agree on that as a church, we're in for a mess of trouble. Because you say, hey, I want to do this thing. And I say, I want to do this thing. And we don't have a common standard to hold to. Well, we hold to the Bible. And we go from there. Number four, those who will submit to the church's leadership, Hebrews 13, 17. Listen to this one. I'm going to read it for you. You got to listen. This is important to you. Obey your leaders and submit to them. You're like, that's not in there. It is in there. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You and I need to submit to the authority of biblical church leadership because God tells us to. Also, this is the fun part. The second half of the verse says, let them do this with joy and not with grief. You know what that means? It means that there is a way for you to technically obey your parents and technically obey the leadership in the church and not do it to where they are happy about you obeying. You can actually technically obey and still make your leaders' lives miserable. And the Bible says, don't do it. Let them do it with joy. Please don't let Justin hate coming to work every day because he's got to deal with you yahoos, all right? Let him do it with joy and not with grief. Why do we have to submit to the church's leadership to be a church member? Well, because that's what it means to be a church member, is you come and you submit to the authority of the church and say, hey, I want to be here and I want to learn. No one's making you a church member because you come in and say, hey, I'd like to be in charge of this church. We're going to say, no, thank you. We got one of those, okay? His name is Jesus, and he's better at it than you are. Number four, why should I join a church? Why should I join a church? I've got, I don't know, a lot of these, maybe seven, we'll see. Number one, why should you join a church? Because church membership is a picture of gospel results. Church membership is a picture of gospel results. That is, that you and I are here, if we're true Christians, we have joined together in a church probably for no other reason except that we both love Jesus. Robert Soucy, who's a theologian, said, when one is called into fellowship with God and made a member of the body of Christ, he is at the same time brought into fellowship with fellow members of that body. The moment you became a Christian, you gained a whole family. Some of them you don't even know about. You are now a part of something different. You are now a part of the family of God, of the house of God. And so when we come together as a church, even you guys, many of you are Christians. You're coming here on Wednesday night to worship and encourage one another. And you know why you're sitting next to the people you're sitting next to? It's not because you really have anything in common with them, except that you love Jesus. Me and Edwin have been bros for like forever. Me and Michael have known each other since we were like kids, all right? You know why we still like hanging out together? It's not because we have anything in common. Edwin is handsome, Michael is talented, I'm me, and we hang out. You know why? Because we love Jesus. That's really the thing that ties us together. He went to public school. Can you believe that? Sorry. Church membership is a picture of gospel results. Even me, even Michael and Edwin, we can be saved and we can enjoy worshiping God together. Number two, church membership is the New Testament expectation. 1 Peter 4:10 says that each one has received a special gift, therefore employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You don't get to choose what to do when you get saved. You are part of the church, and therefore you have requirements placed on you. It's the New Testament expectation that you would be part of a local church where you can use your giftedness. Talk more about that in a minute. Number three, church membership trusts that Christ will build his church. Just so you guys know, there are a lot of organizations and corporations all over the globe, different institutions of all shapes and colors and all of it, and they all want your money, just so you know. Most of being an adult is saying, I don't want to give to your cause, and hanging up the phone, okay? Or it's got the little spam filter now, which is helpful, all right? There are so many institutions out there in the world, and they're all going to fail except for one. Do you know what that one is? If you say Tesla, I'm going to say no, okay? There is one institution on the face of the planet that will succeed, and it's the church. Do you know why I know that? Because Matthew 16, 18, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all creation, said, I will build my church. No conditions. Jesus Christ will build his church. His church will have success. Mark Dever said, if Jesus is committed to the church, should we be any less committed to it? Number four, church membership holds us accountable. In Galatians chapter 6, talks about how we ought to bear one another's burdens, specifically in calling each other to be out of sin and be honoring to the Lord, restoring one another in a spirit of gentleness. 1 Corinthians 5 says that we ought to keep each other accountable in the sense we should call each other to repentance when we're in sin. Matthew 18, talking about the church discipline process you guys talked about, that if someone refuses to listen to the witnesses, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. By us sharing life together and being in a church together, we see each other, we see each other's lives and say, hey, that thing you're saying, that thing you're doing, that's not what the Bible says you should do. That's not what a Christian acts like. What are you doing? I love you. You can't do this. And if that person refuses to listen and says, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't care what Jesus says, I'm doing my own thing, then the church has no option but to say, I'm sorry, we can't call you a Christian anymore. Mark Dever says, membership holds us accountable to practice true love and encourages us to love others in the way that the Bible commands. Number five, church membership gives us opportunity to use our gifts. Remember back in 1 Peter chapter 4, it talked about how each one has received a special gift. If you're a true Christian, that means that the moment you were saved, God gave you a unique blend of spiritual giftedness. The Holy Spirit gave that to you so that you could serve other Christians. Now, that means two things. It means if you do not use your spiritual giftedness to serve other Christians in the local church, number one, you are wrong. You are sinning before the Lord because you are not obeying what he has called you to do. Number two, that means that the church is actually missing out on something that we could have because you're not serving and using your gifts in the context of the church. And you say, yeah, this is a big church. They don't need me. There's all kinds of people to do that and to do that. They don't need me. And the answer is, well, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what Justin thinks. It matters what the Bible says, and the Bible says that you have a gift you have to use here in the church. And if you're not doing that and we're not letting you do that, we're wrong, because the Bible says you have to. The church membership gives you an opportunity to use your gifts for the good of the body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That is, Robert Soucy says, the gifts of the Spirit given to each member for the good of all are best expressed when met together. If you don't ever come to church, if you don't ever gather with other Christians, you can't be using your giftedness to help us. You're not here. We express our gifts and serve one another when we come together, gather together, meet together, and worship together. Number six, church membership lets us meet needs and have needs met. It lets us meet needs and have needs met. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Bible tells us that we are to look for ways to do good, to be kind to other people. But did you see who it said? It said to everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. You should be intentionally looking for ways to do kind acts for other Christians in your church. That's what you should be doing. And maybe that's a big thing. Maybe it's like, man, this guy needs a new car. I'm going to buy it for him. That guy is me, so let me know. All right? No, I'm kidding. Maybe it's a little thing. Maybe it's holding the door open for somebody. Maybe it's getting them a drink of water. Maybe it's whatever. Looking for ways to be kind to other people, other Christians in your church. That's what the church is about. We do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. Philippians 2, you remember this one? Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Well, that's hard. I don't like doing that. That means that I don't get what I want, or I don't get what I want right now. Yeah, I know. That's the point. You looking out for the interests of others, especially those of the household of faith. Also, this is where you have your needs met. It works the other way too. When you need something, when you need someone to pray with you, when you need someone to encourage you, when you need someone to pick you up because your car broke down on the side of the road, who can you call? You can probably call AAA. But you know who you could call? You call somebody from your church. You know why? Because they're going to pick up. They're going to come help you out. I have a friend who goes here. His name is Braden. He goes to this church. He's a good buddy of mine. He lives one street over from me. If something happened to my house and like a water pipe burst or something, you know who I'm calling? Well, I could call my dad. He lives in Keller. He'd only be there in like 45 minutes. That'd probably help, right? Now I'm calling Braden because he's a good brother of mine and he lives like 300 yards from me. He'd be over in a flash and he would help me with whatever I needed. That's the kind of friendship we have here because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We can actually have our needs met by the church. Number 7, why should you join a church? It gives us a place to worship together. This, the church, is a place where Christians gather to worship together. What does that mean? There's several of these. I'm going to put them up here. You can write down at least the verses, all right? Number 1, it means we encourage each other. Hebrews 10 says that we encourage each other to do what? To do good deeds. We stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Why do you come and worship together? Why do you come to youth group and come to church on Sunday mornings? So that we're all encouraging each other to be more and more like Christ. Number 2, so we can sing together. Colossians 3:16 talks about us singing together, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you know one of the reasons you should want to be a member in a biblical local church is so that you get to sing with other Christians? It's that important. Number 3, we give money to gospel ministry together. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is very specific. It says, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the other churches, so do you also. Listen to this. On the first day of every week, that's Sunday, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no collections be made when I come. If every Sunday, Pastor Tom had to stand up and say, hey guys, we got bills to pay, so if y'all could give a little bit, that'd be great. If he had to do that, we are failing as a church. You know why? Because the Bible says we are all, as Christians, every single one of us, to put aside money as God gives it to us, as he may prosper. Maybe it's a little, maybe it's a lot. We're to put it aside to save so that when we come to church every week, every month, whatever, consistently giving to the local church. We get to give together. That's one of the benefits of church membership. Number 4, we get to pray together. 1 Timothy 2:8, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. We come together. One of the things we do is we pray. We come together and pray to the Lord together. Number 5, we sit under the scriptures together. Acts 2:42, one of the very first things it says that the official church did is it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what they did when they got together? They sat down and someone taught them the truth of Jesus and the Bible. Why do we gather? Why is it so important that we get together each week? Because we need to hear the Bible. And so we sit down and we listen to it together. Number 6, we take the Lord's table together. At Countryside, we do this once a month, usually on the third Sunday. 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It matters that when Christians gather in a local church, they celebrate the gospel through the Lord's table. So why should you join a church? There's a lot of good reasons. Place where you can serve, place for you to have your needs met and to meet the needs of others, a place to worship together, all of these things. Ultimately, it shows that the gospel works because here we are. Number 5 is when. That is, when should I join a church and when should I leave a church? We've got to go through this pretty quick. The answer is, well, now. When should you join? As soon as possible. Now, I'll give some caveats to that in a minute, considering your age, but I will talk about that in a minute. When should you join? If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you should want to be formally connected to a local biblical church as soon as possible. There is no such thing as a healthy Christian that is off on their own. No such thing. When should you leave a church? We're just going to briefly talk about this. The beauty of you guys being in high school is you get to leave a church when your parents leave a church. You get to join a church when your parents join a church because they say, hey, we're going to go over here, and you submit to your parents. Now, some of you, how many of you are seniors? Quite a few, okay? All on this side. I like that. Separating them out, okay? So you seniors very soon are going to move out. You're going to go on your own, out to college, whatever. You're going to have to choose your own church. You have to decide when to stay and when to go. A couple things to think through. When to leave. Number 1, voluntarily. When can you leave voluntarily? Well, you say, hey, I'm moving away for college. I'm not going to be a member at Countryside anymore. And I say, yep. And then you say, I'm going to go join a healthy biblical church in my college town. And I say, yep. And then when you come back, you tell that church there, hey, I'm going to leave because I'm not going to live here anymore and I don't want to drive 7 hours to your church every Sunday. I'm just going to go back and to this church, and you do that. Or you move to Montana somewhere and I say, hope you find a good biblical church in the snowstorm. Good luck, okay? Leaving reluctantly. There are some times when you might be in a church that is not healthy, that's not recognizing these nine marks of a biblical church. They're not living according to what the Bible says a church should be. And so you might say, hey, leadership, this is what I think the Bible says a church should be. Can we be more like that? Can we be more like that? And over time, when you're gracious and patient with them, that church doesn't want to be a church like the Bible says, and you say, I'm sorry, but I need to go find a church that really loves the Bible and does what Jesus says. Number one answer on the reluctantly thing, key here, never leave a church and cause damage. It is never okay for you to leave a church and to leave a mess in behind you, right? You don't cause destruction on the way out, all that stuff. If it's a church that is really actually preaching the real biblical gospel, as unhealthy as it might be, you leave and leave it well, okay? Involuntarily, there's two ways you can leave a church involuntarily. One is absence. That is, you leave, as in you like leave and you disappear and I don't know where you went, okay? My job, part of my job, is I send emails to people that haven't come to church in a while. You've been gone a month or 2 months. I send you an email. I'm like, hey, you haven't been here in a while. You doing okay? What's going on? And then sometimes people never write me back. And it makes me sad. I want you to know that. I take it personally. No, I'm kidding. But they leave. They leave. And they never come back. And they never tell me they left. And I have no clue where they went. And eventually, I have to say, apparently they're not a member of this church anymore because they're not here. Over time, I take them off the list. The second way you can leave involuntarily is that you are put through the church discipline process, which you guys talked about. But the reality is that as the church works through dealing with a sin issue and says, hey, we cannot call you a Christian anymore because of the way you're living, therefore you can't be a church member anymore. But if church discipline goes how it is designed to go and that person actually repents of their sin and is restored to the church, then their church membership can be restored as well as we reflect and love the fact that they repented of their sin. Last, how can I join a church? I'm going to put all this up here and I'm going to talk through it so you can write it down only if you listen to me, all right? How do you join a church? I'm going to tell you how you can join Countryside. Lots of churches have different things to do, but this is how we do it. Number one, you have to make some commitments first. If you join Countryside, you are committing that you are supporting the church, submitting to the leadership, and doing ministry to others in the church. If you say, hey, I want to come to this church, but I don't want to submit to your leadership, I'm going to say, you can't be a member here. You say, hey, I really want to be a member here, but I don't actually want to like take care of and serve other people. I just kind of want to do my own thing. And I say, you can't be a member here. This is what it means to be a member, is to do ministry to others, submit to the church leadership, and support the mission of the church. Now, there are a couple of types of membership here at Countryside. If you are 18 or over, and you go through the membership process, and you survive, then you would be called an adult member, okay? An adult member, that means that even when we have a business meeting and we do a vote, you could actually get to vote. How cool would that be? It happens like once every 10 years, so hope you get lucky on the timing, all right? There's also a youth member. What that means is you do all the same work as an adult member. You have to do the application and class and all that. You're just not 18 yet. So for you guys who are like juniors and seniors, you're 16, 17 years old, I would like you to talk to your parents. If it would be wise for you, you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have been baptized since your conversion, and you would like to be an official member of the church at Countryside, then you can talk to your parents about whether you can go through the membership process. Now, you can't make your parents go through the membership process on your behalf. You send them on and say, yeah, they're going for me. No, you have to come and do the whole thing yourself, okay? But I want you to consider that. Then, the beautiful thing about youth membership, if you do it when you're like 17, and then when you turn 18, you automatically become an adult member. You don't have to do it again. That's cool, okay? So, something to consider. For you guys who are younger, still in that 13, 14, 15-year-old range, you can talk to your parents, consider what that might look like, probably waiting towards the end of high school when you want to do that officially on your own, okay? You can talk to me if you got questions. Process of membership. What does it actually mean to do membership here? Number one, you go online to the website and you fill out an application. That application comes to me. Most of the questions in there are like who you are, like what street you live on, and then also what your testimony is. How do you know you're a Christian? How would I know you're a Christian? Well, you know, what was your spiritual state before Christ? When did you learn the gospel? When were you actually converted? Have you been baptized? How has your life changed since you were saved by Jesus? I want to know all that stuff. Why? Because I'm looking for holes and I'm going to find out that you're not really a Christian? Well, I hope not. No, I want to hear your story. I want to hear how you came to be a believer, because that's encouraging to me. And therefore, we can add you to the church. After you do an application, we put you in a class. You come to class with me. It's during Sunday morning, a Sunday school class. We do it 3 weeks in a row. You got to come to all three in a row, and you have to come on time. And then we teach through. What does our church believe about the Bible? What is our doctrine? What are the things that we care about here? Who's in charge? Who are the elders and the deacons and all these people? How are you going to get involved in serving? All those things. Number three, you do an interview. So after all that, we set you up, and you get to sit down and talk with one of the pastors or one of the elders and just get to share your story with them. You're like, that sounds terrible. Mr. Chandler's going to tell me I'm not a Christian. No, we just want to get to know you. We want to hear more about your story. We want to hear about when you became a believer and how you found the church and how long have you been here and all that stuff. We just want to know so that we can really shepherd and help you well. And then number four, this is the best part. You guys have come on a Sunday night when we do a new member reception, and we put the pictures up on the screen, and then Pastor Tom says, oh, you know, Mrs. Smith, she lives in Keller, and she stands up and waves, and then we all get free food. That's the best part, okay? It's not the best part. I mean, mostly the members are the best part, but it's free food, so, you know. But that's how it works, all right? At Countryside, you do an application, class, interview, reception, and then the elders vote and put you on our membership roster, okay? So, wrapping up, we got to be done. Every true believer should be formally connected to a biblical local church. So the question is, if you're a true believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have been baptized since your conversion as a believer, you are committed to God's perfect word and willing to submit to it, and you are willing to submit to the leadership of a healthy biblical church, then yeah, you should pursue church membership. The Bible says that we should be formally connected together in local bodies so that we can honor God and proclaim the gospel and worship him together. So the question is, should you be a part of that? Well, here's your answer. All right? If you have questions, you ever want to talk about membership, this is my thing. I love it. Come talk to me. We'll chat about it. I've got book recommendations. If you want to read more about it, we can do that. All right? Let me pray for you guys. We're going to sing, and then you guys can go for small groups. All right? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the Bible that's clear and teaches us how we ought to think. Thank you that you have told us how your church is to be run. And thank you that you've put qualified leaders, elders in our church so that we can trust them and go by their wisdom. And we just thank you that you have given us the church to encourage us so that we can be together, serving one another, worshiping you together, proclaiming the gospel together. All of these things because you are a good and kind God to us. We thank you for all of this. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.